I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, page 1153, and then we'll flick over to Romans chapter 12. Let's hear God's word. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to become ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another in the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And then flicking over to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 forward. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is, or God's will is. His good pleasure, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have differing gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let us pray together. Lord, in these moments we pray for a special anointing and outpouring of your Holy Spirit, so that you may search our hearts. Prepare us as the people of God to be the people of God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In the time that is left, it would be impossible for me to deal with this subject as adequately as I would like, as in depth that would be necessary, and to answer any of the questions that may arise in our mind as a result of it. Not that I would be able to provide all the answers to those. This is a difficult subject. I want to preface it by putting it in context. We live in a broken world. We know that. The effects that sin has upon us cause a spiritual blindness. We cannot see without God's help. It doesn't matter how intellectual the person is who's trying to reach us, how well devised the arguments might be to compel us to believe in God. Without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, it would be impossible. I have never, or rarely, seen a person, in fact I haven't, without the Spirit engaging them, who will be convinced that Jesus is real, that Jesus did what he did, and for the reasons that were claimed. Impossible. If we could come to Jesus by reason alone, without the aid of God, he could have left us just a book to read. But he didn't. Human brokenness distorts our perceptions of God, distorts our perceptions of ourselves and the world that we live in. Human brokenness brings us to the point of destruction and often leaves us disabled within life. Many people, because of sin, have been left incapable of living. They have become the victim of their own addictions. And regardless of how we get into that mess, and we could intellectualize about it for hours, as to whether it was something personal or a product of how we live collectively, whether it was something that's broken inside us in the terms of how we are wired, or whether it's a pattern of socialization. We could spend endless days, and people with greater intellects than mine would vary and disagree. But the recognition is we have a problem. And God knows that. And a supernatural God has to reach us supernaturally. Which means that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, regardless of how we seek to interpret them, are a necessary component of how God reaches his world that is broken through the church. If we believe in a supernatural God, which we should, then we should also believe that he gives the church his supernatural power to accomplish its mission, which will include the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They may not be in the manner they were first used always, and that would need a greater discussion. But we cannot reach a lost world without his supernatural intervention. I want you to think of the two areas within the life of the church, within the history of the contemporary church even, that often divides people and has historically divided the church: worship and gifts. We have spent a lot of time disagreeing with each other about how we should worship God. We have also spent a lot of time discussing whether the revelatory gifts, the supernatural gifts, some of which are listed here, the most controversial of those that are applied to church life, whether it be speaking in tongues, whether it be words of knowledge, whether it be words of prophecy. All of these areas have divided the church over centuries. And that's not surprising, because it's one of the devil's schemes. If he can get people to argue about how they worship, then they are actually deflected from worshiping. They're more concerned about how you do it rather than why you do it. If you can get people divided over the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they become distracted in seeking to use those gifts effectively to build each other up in Christ. And at times, where prophecy may lay the secrets of a man's heart bare, and God may reach them. And I have swung from two extremes at times. In my own personal history, I have been in the Pentecostal charismatic movement. I embraced many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believed in one stage of my own personal journey in unconditional healing. I was influenced substantially by those initially who would be involved in the prosperity movement, and particularly the health and wealth, but more in relation to health. And I have known that other side of my journey when I became reformed, that I functionally became a cessationist, of where I found it difficult because of the abuses that I was witnessing, because of the extremes that I sought, because of the excesses that people engaged in, My instinct, both theologically and practically, was to move to the other extreme. And I can see how often Satan could abuse those situations, could use them as leverage in my own life. It was only when I re-engaged in ministry within a particular context a number of years ago that I became aware of the fact that I could not embrace the concept of a supernatural God without supernatural interventions. That regardless of how we describe these gifts and regardless of how the controversy rages in relation to them, there were times that I would use, be aware of, and be conscious of certain gifts that people had labeled as prophetic or words of knowledge being operational. Not because I was seeking after them, but because God sought to use them in that particular context. And when we look at a passage like this, and I would like to do it much more fully, perhaps in a context, in a slightly different context than today, there is no reason for us to fall out about it. But there is equally no reason for us to suggest that God doesn't do supernatural things when a sovereign God may decide that that is necessary. There is no value in excesses and extremes on both sides, whether those who regard themselves as hyper-reformed and cessationist and those who believe that you embrace all aspects of these signs without any restriction, without any reflection, without any sense of balance, without any sense of priority. Those two extremes, I believe, distract the church from its focus and its mission, which is to reach the lost for Christ, to embrace a supernatural God who uses supernatural means at his sovereign discretion, and where he will seek to reach you and I. I believe passionately in the priority of biblical teaching. I believe that God's source of revelation primarily comes from his word. I believe that through the preaching of God's word, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe that your human need can be addressed through the teaching of Scripture. But I also believe that on occasions, he may choose to reach you specifically. That we, when we walk in the Spirit, who are led by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit, may on occasions have an insight from God that we could not have possessed by human means. I am not prepared to separate these gifts out. Paul linked prophecy in with every other gift that we could possess. We have differing gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lists acts of serving, and it lists administrations, it lists gifts that you and I would regard as supernaturally compelled altogether. I believe that if we're a church, that if we're going to reach this world for Christ, we embrace a supernatural God, and we embrace the talents and gifts that he has given us to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. You are here today. God knows your heart. And I believe that he may reach it through his word. And I pray that he does. But there could be a person sitting beside you that God speaks to. And as he does, he may actually reveal something about your life that could only be supernaturally derived from a supernatural God. Because he knows that he needs to reach you. And in that context, he may speak directly into it. The primary means is through his word. But there are times that God in his grace will act in supernatural ways. And in my own experience, though they be rare, and maybe they should be more frequent, there are times that God, through, I believe, his spirit, has placed an insight into someone's life that I could not possess other than God himself revealing it at that moment. And the confirmation of that is that when you speak it, they understand that it came from God, because you could not have known otherwise at that point in time. Because that's the mechanism, maybe, that for you as an individual, God has chosen to speak through. What would alarm me if you use that secondary means as the only way you would ever seek to hear God? And that's what disturbs me about a subject like this. There are those who only ever want God to speak to them through the means of a supernatural revelation given to them by someone else, so that it is confirmation of what God would require them to do. And I believe that that's a lazy application of the teaching of the Bible. If you want to find out what God wants for your life, read this book. Read it. Because anything that would be supernaturally revealed to you, say classically as an act of prophecy on the part of someone else, would only have to ever confirm what's in this book. It cannot be out of keeping or out of character with what has already been revealed. So why would you become lazy? You get to know God through reading his revelation to you. That's where you will find the source of joy and inspiration, as you find the Jesus of this book becoming a reality in your life. It is the answer to your problem. And you need to embrace it today. The Jesus who speaks to you through his word. But collectively as a congregation and as individuals, never give up on the fact that God may also choose to speak through you to someone. And he may do it in a supernatural way. Because we have a supernatural problem that needs a supernatural remedy. That is the gifts that God may give us, all of the gifts, which includes every talent, every ability, every function, every administration, every help, every grace, and every supernatural gift that may be given by God, used together, used collectively, used appropriately, used biblically, used sensitively, used in the power of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, informed by the Spirit, measured against the teaching of God's word, that when we do all of those, we are a force to be reckoned with in this broken world. We are a powerful people. What I want raised in an assembly of God's people like this is a people passionate for God, a people empowered by God, inspired by God, worked with and through by God, failing to fall out over things that Satan would divide us over, so that when we engage in this broken world, we do so with one spirit and one mind, in such a way as the enemy can have no glory, that the enemy can have no power, that the enemy cannot continue his work, because the people of God are the people of God. That's my dream. I have no more energy left to fight battles that do not need fought. All the energy that we should possess should go in to making sure that the lost are saved, that the lost are won to Christ. And like Paul, whatever means is necessary, we will engage the enemy in order to render him powerless in the face of the destruction that he seeks to implement. You may disagree. That's okay. I'll live with it. But let's work together. For the whole world needs God. And whatever way we seek to define these, and someday we'll sit down together in a longer forum and discuss this. But whatever way these gifts are administered, they are necessary. However we reinterpret them. And to tell you the truth, I don't want the label. I just want to live close enough to Christ. I don't care what you call them. There are times perhaps when others would have called it prophetical. I don't care. They'd have called it a word of knowledge. Good. But that's not the definition I need. Because once we start to define it in these terms, we'll start to disagree. Let's live close enough to Christ, discerning enough to his spirit, equipped by the power of God, so that when you walk into someone's home, you know God walks with you, so that they can be reached by a loving, merciful, gracious, supernatural God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you today that we have an opportunity to leave ourselves open to your working and to allow you to work in the lives of those who resist your move in their life. Lord, continue to speak to us in these moments as we fellowship together. In Jesus' name.